Welcome to episode 1162 of the Geek News Central podcast. It is Thursday, December 1st. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or simply paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Tonight, we're going to be talking about robots attacking. A major botnet has been taken offline. We're going to talk about the Russian cargo ship that exploded, Netflix downloads, and a whole lot more. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners of the show. It's been more than a week since I recorded a podcast. I'll talk about that. But for those of you that are brand new, thanks for being here. Thanks for checking out the show. We want to make sure you become part of the Ohana, and to do that is real, real simple. All you got to do is just take about 5 minutes, not even five, maybe 3 minutes, and, oh, what's going on? There we go. That was slow to switch. And go over to geeknewscentral.com and go over on the website and get subscribed to the show. And you're going to find on there a link to iTunes, Android. You get the show via email, Google Play, on Stitcher, via TuneIn, or a standard RSS feed. Really, there's lots of ways to consume the show. We want you to do that. Get signed up for the newsletter while you're over there as well. And of course, we really want you to stay involved with the show, and you have comments on today's podcast. You can do so very easily by emailing me at geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at geeknews. You, of course, can follow on Slack by becoming part of our Ohana and joining the Slack channel just by dropping me an email. Of course, you can follow on Google Plus and Facebook. You can watch the show on the Roku, Apple TV, listen on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play this show's name and the latest episode, and that'll kick the latest episode in Alexa. You can, of course, check us out on Stitcher and over on blueberry.com for audio and video as well. Hey, partner shows include a great lineup here. We've got a great lineup of shows, and you can definitely check out the Pro Gear site at progear.guru and check out the Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, and the New Media Show, of course, at newmediashow.com. And of course, my new show, Podcast Legends, which I've been kind of neglecting. I need to get some new episodes out. So definitely get over to geeknewscentral.com. All those links are on the website, and you basically can get subscribed to all the shows here at Geek News Central. Of course, this show is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com, longest running sponsor of any podcast known to man, and that makes it special, and special deals for you. And as we've already rolled into December, there's deals here galore. And save 30% on new product purchases, 99cent.coms. You can get a month free website builder, little assistance from the GoDaddy team as well to get you going. $1 a month economy hosting, $1 a month managed WordPress site as well for 12 months. Those all come with free domains. So check out all those offers. Those are available again at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at the podcast. And again, you know, it looks like November was another a great month as far as your ongoing support. I haven't got the totals back from the team, but I'm expecting them to be decent. Maybe not as good as October. And there's a few months that are always kind of like peak months. And September, October always seem to be really, really well. Can't complain about November at all. And, but anyway, thank you for your ongoing support. And, you know, if you're getting ready to do some Christmas shopping, GoDaddy's a place to go. It's a great way to knock out your Christmas shopping in just one full swoop. You know, for 12 bucks, you get a domain and a managed WordPress site for a year. And, that's a great way to kickstart someone's creative juices and get them going. So definitely check out all the deals again at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. GoDaddy. Hey, want to just take a second here and talk a little bit about what's been going on in why, and many of you that follow me on Facebook or on Twitter know what happened, but of course, we had Thanksgiving, and I was off for the show on Thanksgiving, and had a great holiday, had friends over, the entire family was here. It was fantastic, and cooked more food than we possibly could eat, and I'm still eating turkey. And so anyway, it just was real nice. Didn't go shopping on Black Friday, did very little shopping on Cyber Monday, because as you know, I've already had some stuff on order waiting for it to come in, and I'm going to share with you here in a few seconds some stuff that just, I mean, literally about 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes before the show started, some stuff that arrived, and I'm going to be excited to do some unboxing and stuff in the next day or so. But Monday, just to back you guys up, and I know we've had, I got a couple emails from new listeners of the show that said, you took 20 minutes to talk about giving thanks on the last show. So if you're brand new to the show, we always talk a little bit, 10, 15 minutes about just stuff going on here. And that's just the way this show kind of rolls down. And then we get into the tech content. So if you don't want to listen to me jibber jabber about stuff going on here, just fast forward a little bit. But and for those of you live, you can't do that for those listening to podcasts. But anyway, my wife is working at, she's an employee of Hawaiian Airlines, and she's actually working the ANA customer service desk. Matter of fact, doing departures, doing customs. I mean, the whole nine yards. They got them running around like their heads with their chicken with their heads cut off, and she's loving it. She has to leave here very early in the morning, and up to this point, we've all been leaving with her at like 4:30 in the morning, because as many of you know, we've been a one-car family here for a long time, and with her and got these new hours and everything going on, it just wasn't going to work anymore, and she had been looking for some sort of electric vehicle, because with an electric vehicle, she gets to park free at the airport, which is fantastic. So saves me $108 or her $108 a month to park at the airport if she has an EV car. So Monday, I was pretty busy. She called me about 3 p.m. and said, you know, come get me. I picked her up, like, and basically, where are we going? She says, let's go to Nissan. And we've already drove a Chevy Volt. She'd already driven all the Ford models. So we got into, and Toyota really doesn't at this point have a true EV vehicle right now. And they have one coming, and there's actually some new stuff coming from Chevy in the spring. So, you know, and Nissan hasn't updated their model in a while. So the Nissan Leaf wasn't necessarily my first pick. I think I would have allowed her to get the Chevy Volt and basically broke the boycott I've got on Chevy right now. It's because I like that vehicle a little bit more, because it's an EV, but it's got gas backup, but it still qualifies for the EV plate. So we got into Nissan and drove the car, and drove nice, passed all her criteria, and we got in, and they made a deal, great deal. Now, she leased the vehicle, and the lease and ultimately, what it boiled down to is, with the savings at the airport for parking, the vehicle's really costing me, right, or costing her, on average, after, you know, we had to pay a down payment and with everything else, about $200 a month is what the, maybe $192, something in there, and of course insurance and all that stuff. And then whatever the electricity costs to charge the vehicle. So really couldn't go wrong. And 15,000 miles a year for total mileage. She'll be able to use for 3 years. But anyway, we're a two-car family again. I'm going to tell you, I have to be a little quiet. It's like, yes, 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 doing the jig. I was like, you know, it's been a great week. we did the one-car thing for a while, and it's great, but boy, having two cars again, yes. So anyway, that's that. So it was to miss the show on Monday. I'm sorry. We got in here, just about the time the show was going to start, and I just didn't have time. And after dealing with dealers, you know how that goes. Other than that, if you've been following my Facebook page, you've been seeing the stuff I've been talking about CES and some other stuff, some videos I put up. So don't, you know, definitely scroll down the page if you haven't looked at that stuff that's already there at facebook.com/Cochran. And you'll be able to get into, you know, the nitty gritty of what's going on there. But everything's moving forward. But one thing that did come, and I told you guys it was coming because Raw Voice had updated, is I moved up to the iPhone 7. And the only reason I really did, because my iPhone 6 was still good, was the company just, you know, everyone in the company moved up in phones. And so, you know, I'd been holding back. But what I have found so far, and I've got, and what I did to kind of mitigate, you know, I had this big issue with the headphone gone. So I bought extras of these lightning to headphone jacks. I have them attached to anything that I have that has got a headphone on it. So they're basically attached and then a little bit of heat shrink to keep them together so that I won't lose these things. I'm not going to be carrying them around separate. So I bought enough of these to, you know, at you know, $20 a piece or whatever they are to, you know, cover all items. So that's what I end up doing with, you know, basic. But so far, you know, here's the thing. This phone is absurdly thin. Other than that, with the haptic feedback on the home button, you know, I would say 25-30% faster than my iPhone 6. But other than that, that is really the main difference. Migration and move over is Apple, simple as pie. But, you know, I did buy a couple extra cables. I did buy, where did I put it? You know, so I can, you know, if I get in a situation where I need to run a charger, so I bought the Griffin. It, you know, this is the actually only additional adapter I bought was the one from Belkin, actually. It's got the dual plug on it. And that's the only thing that I'm actually going to carry in my computer bag. So we're going to go for there. And I did order one Bluetooth headset to see, one with a headphone to see where that's going to happen. We'll talk about that later. But so what I've been waiting for 2 months. You guys know I've been talking about this. Been waiting for DJI to deliver the Mavic Pro. That arrived. So, I mean, I'm jazzed that the Mavic Pro is here. Perfect timing for being able to get this thing, you know, flight tested and being ready to go to Vegas and CES and all this other stuff that I'm doing with the new vlog. One other thing I did purchase on top of that was the Osmo Mobile. You guys know I've got the Osmo with the camera, but I'm much more excited about the Osmo Mobile because I can put the cell phone in and it does the same thing as the other device, except I use the cell phone. So this is going to work out great. So the Osmo Mobile's here as well. So yes, my Christmas shopping is done. And then some. So and the credit card bill is yet to come. So you know, that'll be next. And thank you for supporting the sponsor. Let's be straight up. Okay, so anyway, I'll give you guys reports, and I'll have some videos on the Mavic Pro. You know, there's 100 of them out on YouTube already, but we'll do something a little different. And I've got some Hawaii people that have come to me, and we're going to do some unique sponsorship stuff here in Hawaii. So I'll be talking about that in the separate YouTube channel as well. I'm just getting started, and it's in the show notes. I want you to subscribe. So again, I've talked way too long on this other stuff. We'll get into the tech. Everyone that's on Facebook tonight, thanks for being here, and YouTube as well. Thanks for tuning in. So yeah, got folks up and on both streams, and the chat room is open. So if you want to say hello in the chat room at live.geekcentral.com, feel free. But I think that gets me into where I can switch and we can get into tech mode. I want to thank everyone for being patient. I really, really do. I know that there's been a few shows missed with travel and holidays and everything else. Thank you so much for being patient. It's good for my soul and good for you that show, you know, basically keep on cranking here. Again, the Monday show wasn't really, I didn't mean to miss Monday, but I think you guys can understand the excitement of going from one car to two cars for the first time in 3 years. never was a financial situation. It was more of, how should we put it? Bonding time. But I'm happy we're back to two vehicles. Also, I'd ask for some of you to try to find me some white paint pens. I scored some. I was able to find some here in Hawaii. So those of you that have emailed me and said that you found some and would be willing to ship them out, no need. I've got them. I bought some deco color ones. Worked out real well. So, and these are fine tip. These are beautiful. So I'm good. So thanks to all of you that emailed me, said that you could ship me some. I definitely appreciate it. Okay. So let me go ahead and get into the real stack of stuff that I have tonight. And I want to talk a little bit about robots. You know, we're talking about, you know, the drone, the Mavic Pro. I got a regular DJI Phantom 3, which, you know, more than likely I'll be selling at this point. Someone actually asked me if I was selling it, and I will probably sell it because I just think the DJI is going to, the Mavic Pro is going to be much better. So it comes to drones and remote controlled vehicles, and we're talking about, we got a story tonight talking about a truck that's driving down, or semis that are now in Trucker Tom. I told you this wasn't going to take too long. Semis that are doing test driving now on the Ohio State Turnpike. I-80, I think, is the highway they're going to be driving on that with self-driving semis. It's coming fast. It really, really is. And what really makes me sad at a certain point is that, and I've talked about this many times before, when I was, my wife and I were expecting our first child, and I was an E5 in the Navy, living in Maryland, not necessarily doing great financially. I had credit card debt at the time, and I spent a season, 3-4 months, whatever it was, delivering Papa John's pizzas to raise money and basically make extra cash so that I would, you know, have a little extra money in the bank when it came, baby came and all that stuff, right? You just have to do what you have to do at times. That's life. So, I read today that an autonomous robot delivered a meal to a hungry customer in London, an achievement that, people are saying we should cheer, but at the same time makes me a little bit sad. Now, I don't know what the tipping situation is in London, but UK food delivery service Just Eat sent a 6-wheeled robot by Starship Technologies to a Turkish restaurant. They picked up the order and rolled to the customer's place and delivered it. We all, you know, as geeks, we call, I think that's pretty cool. But at the same time, we're going to be in a situation soon where more jobs are going to be eliminated. And we're, you know, service jobs. Definitely, you know, Warnet was never really delivered or meant to be career jobs, but a lot of people have service jobs. It's a career job. And I don't want to say that the wrong way, because there's a lot of people listening to the show that have service jobs. So what I meant by that was, for example, when I was growing up, as a teenager, the place to work was McDonald's and Burger King and fast food places. And you go into a McDonald's or a Burger King today, and who you see working there are a lot of older people, sometimes retirees that are working. And you don't see as many, you still see a number of teenagers. But who's doing delivery work these days? You know, you're still thriving delivery business with people, you know, delivering takeout in cities and, you know, running them up to apartments and so forth. But if we're going to get into a time where robots are going to start taking another sector of jobs away, it's sad, because, you know, especially here in the United States, manufacturing's already moved out, and there's, you know, so service jobs make up a bigger part of the employment scheme now. So the more robots invade and do things, and I heard heard someone talking on a TED Talk, as I was watching some stuff over the weekend, where a restaurant now has been able to, you still need some people to do prep work and stuff like that. But when it comes to the actual production of, let's say, just doing nothing but frying burgers, there's now a machine that's smart enough to, and they got heat sense trackers and all kinds of crazy stuff that are cooking burgers, running the grill. And, you know, the employees are still, you know, stacking them together and putting the condiments on and all that stuff. But here again, at some point, we're going to have another position in a restaurant that might be being done by a machine. And, you know, I talked with Trucker Tom, and Trucker Tom still thinks that truck drivers are going to be safe for a long time. I'm here to tell you, I think that's going to happen fast. I think you will see autonomous trucks on the road before before in mass, before you see cars, because, you know, you look at the cost of a big rig and you look at trucking companies, and, you know, if a trucking company can spend, let's say, extra $50,000 on a rig to make it an autonomous driving vehicle, sure, the short hauls from the exit point to the delivery point may still have to be done by a human, but I just think that at some point here that we're going to start to see more impact on our livelihood and people's livelihoods by robots invading more than they have. It already's happened in the manufacturing. You know, look at factories, right? You know, putting cars together. Sure, there's still people working there, but the robots have, you know, they were, and those are great paying jobs that were eliminated. You know, people making $30, $40, $50 an hour working in factories, you know, replaced by a machine. And that happened many, many years ago. So companies are already prone to doing it. So what I'd really like to hear from all of you that are listening to this show, especially anyone that's working, you know, let's just not even limit it to service jobs. Let's think about the job you're in today, the job you're doing right now, or you're going to, or you've just left, and tell me, can your job be replaced by a machine, by a robot? Some jobs probably never will, but can you envision it, and how long will it take for you to envision your job to be replaced? I've often told the story about in, where was it, Indiana? It was, there was essentially a factory had been upgraded with robots, and the unions had been able to protect the jobs of the employees to the point where if they put a robot in and it eliminated three jobs, those three people couldn't be fired. They were supposed to be reassigned to another factory or brought in when needed. And basically they would have and it took a while, but you'd have a building full of people showing up, eating their lunch, sitting at on a table in a building all day, pulling a paycheck, because their job had been replaced, but the union had protected them enough that they didn't lose, they basically couldn't be fired. But at a certain point that ran out and those positions were eliminated. And so it's happened, already in a big, big way. So, you know, here we have a service, you know, you go back to this London delivery. Cameras, sensors, it keeps the food warm, probably drives pretty fast, can avoid traffic and people. You know, is it in whatever that delivery driver was being paid in pounds or euros per hour? Now has been eliminated. So I think this is just going to grow, but it scares me a little bit. We're going to have to find new jobs and find them quick, because it's a whole nother class, a whole nother segment of jobs are going to be eliminated. So love to hear your thoughts on this. And Brad says, we can't be competitive at those wages anymore due to globalization. Well, I understand that. But you have a huge country. Well, that's why we have so many people here that are out of work. We gotta do something. But you know, robots aren't going to help the situation whatsoever. But anyway, that's kind of my thought process. I've been thinking about stuff that's been going on. I need this little Mavic Pro that I brought here, and it'll follow me around. And it's, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But the technology is advancing very, 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 very quickly. With that, law enforcement agencies have dismantled a major cyber criminal network responsible for malware-based attacks that have been harassing victims across the globe for many, many years. This network called Avalanche operated as many as 500,000 infected computers worldwide, and on a daily basis responsible for delivering malware through phishing email attacks. Avalanche has been active since at least 2009. You think about that, 7 years, going almost 8 years. But on Thursday, authorities worldwide in the United States and Europe announced they had arrested 5 suspects allegedly involved in it. Avalanche had been found to be distributing 20 different malware families. It had a banking Trojan used to steal credentials. It had a ransomware package. To shut down this botnet, law enforcement agencies embarked on an investigation that lasted longer than 4 years and involved agents and prosecutors in more than 40 countries, according to the U.S. Department of Justice. Europol said 39 servers supporting Avalanche were seized, and another 221 were forced offline. 830,000 malicious web domains connected to Avalanche activities had been taken down. Avalanche was found to be sending more than 1 million emails with malicious attachments or links every week. The malware managed to infect users in more than 180 countries. So one thing is cool is the link that I'm going to have up. There's a free tool to remove any infections that may have come from Avalanche. A security firm, Bitfender, said that even though the criminal network has been dismantled, the leftover malware on infected computers can still hog system resources and use internet access. So might be worthy just to run this tool on your machine to see if it comes up with anything. Sadly, today, the Russians punched out an unmanned Russian Progress Force Progress 65 spacecraft, and apparently it was destroyed or destroyed itself shortly after it launched, about 6 or 7 minutes in flight. The spacecraft was on a run to the International Space Station. Had 2.5 tons of food, fuel, clothes, and other hardware. And so this is another setback for the Russians. You know, you think about this. We continue to put astronauts on the same platform. It's kind of scary, yeah? And it's still a risky, risky business. But don't worry, there's enough food on the international supply system. Another resupply mission is scheduled for just next week on December 9th. The Japanese HTV cargo ship is planned to deliver food, water, clothing, replacement parts, repair kits, and new experiments to the U.S. segment of the International Space Station. This means that the astronauts in there's basically enough food for 6 months. And they're able to keep the coffers full up there. Sad that they've lost another load of stuff. It's awful expensive when things go boom in space. Luckily, this time it was only cargo and food. Cassini. We've been talking about Cassini for a long time. As long as this show has been in existence, Cassini's been touring Saturn's system. NASA's Cassini spacecraft is about to enter a new orbit, and one that will take the probe close to the planet's famous rings, followed by basically it's going to drive itself into Saturn. I don't know what the actual date of this is. Cassini's been traveling through space for 20 years. You know, took a long time to get to Saturn to begin with. But in September of 2017 is when the plunge is going to happen, bring its long mission to a close. And there's some very, very, very cool images that Cassini has sent back over the years. And they released a few to give people a taste of potential stuff to come in this close flyby. So exciting stuff here. And let me see if I can bring up any for those of you that are watching the show tonight. It's just simply incredible. And of course, this, I'm sure this is an enhanced image, but the just the beauty of the Saturn rings are very, very impressive. Okay, this is an interesting article from space.com. You guys know what MRVs are, right? Multi-reentry vehicles, usually attached to a missile that has reached an apex and then drops individual warheads that make very big explosions when they come to the ground. Well, you know, multi-reentry vehicles have been around a long time. More countries have or are developing long-range missile technology, including systems that carry multiple warheads. Both China and Russia possess MIRV capability for their ballistic missiles. In 2014, reports confirmed that Iran had also developed the multi-reentry vehicle MRV for their ballistic missiles. So the U.S. Missile Defense Agency awarded contracts to Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, and Boeing to begin designing what is known as a multi-object kill vehicle, MOKV, which could destroy several objects in space with a single launch. So 10 years ago, there were single kill vehicles on a single interceptor, kill vehicles to the size of a toaster. So the MOKV program is the latest iteration, and this is part of the Space Defense System. So, but apparently they're going to do some tests and should be ready to go to start knocking some stuff out, according to this article, in 2018 or 2019. So American taxpayer dollars continue to be spent. We just need to get rid of all that stuff. But bad guys aren't. That's going to be the continued problem here. How many of you, this is just a, oh my goodness, this is an amazing tool. I wish I'd had one of these years ago. How many of you have ever had a bolt and a nut that just was rusted so bad you could never get it apart? You know, I was lucky when I was growing up. My dad had acetylene and oxygen torch. You know, basically, I could heat up a bolt and, you know, nothing like an acetylene torch to basically break free rust and get a bolt off. Well, I don't have that pleasure anymore. I don't have acetylene oxygen tanks here in Hawaii. And when I get a bolt that's stubborn, it often just doesn't come off. I WD-40 it or do whatever I have to do. And, you know, I think we've all been there, right? You know, fellas and ladies, if you've had one of those nuts that just wouldn't come loose, well, there's something called a nut splitter. And it's simple. It's just a simple tool that, and I saw this, I'm like, this is genius. It's basically a chisel on a screw head that you you basically put up against the bolt, and you hold it with a wrench on one side and you crank the other side to push the chisel into the bolt, and you split it. Now, depending on the type of bolt, if you have depending on the class, some will be easier than others, because yes, there is different hardness in bolts and nuts that are out there. But when I saw this thing, this has got to be the ultimate stocking stuffer. $20, and when you see this thing in action, you watch the video, you're gonna be like, toolbox, I need one. Amazon, it's available on Amazon. You just can't. It's simple. It's a pure work of genius. This guy's going to get rich. He's going to sell millions of these things. Because you just never know. Sometimes you get so frustrated, you just got to, you know, either that or sometimes you can't use a torch on something. Maybe it's in between plastic or whatever. But that's a tool geek out right there. The ultimate one for sure. All right. Netflix user, Netflix members worldwide now, and mom, are you listening, can download in addition to stream great series and films at no extra cost. So there's also a lot of folks that have challenges and downloading stuff because they don't have super high speed internet. So if you can start something to download and watch without and watch later without interruption, you know, basically download all night, this is fantastic. So now here's the kicker. The new features included all plans available for phones and tablets on Android and iOS. You can't do it with your computer, but here's the key. You download it to your iPad. You plug your HDMI cable, basically, and you just play the movie on your iPad through your TV. So, anyway, update your Netflix app to the most recent edition to be able to do this. So, great deal by the folks over at Netflix. Hey, if you are, any of you guys play with Bitcoin at all? Did you buy any Bitcoins? Did you make any money with Bitcoins? Did you see a capital gain with Bitcoin? Did you claim that capital gain with the IRS and pay taxes on it? On Wednesday, a federal judge authorized a summons requiring Coinbase, America's largest Bitcoin service, to provide the IRS with the records of every user who traded on the site between 2014 and 2015, covering the identities and transaction histories of millions of customers. The request is believed to be the largest single attempt to identify tax evaders using virtual currency to date. This is big. Remember, in 2014, the IRS released a notice clarifying that virtual currencies like Bitcoin are property and subject to tax laws as such. Among other things, this means taxpayers are required to report profits made through trading them as taxable income. So if you've been flying by night on this and you use Coinbase, it's best to be proactive. If you know, there's nothing worse than the IRS sending you a letter that implies tax evasion. They will get their money one way or the other, and the penalties associated with it. So if you made some money with Bitcoins and you have an accountant, it might be time to go talk to them. And if you've already paid your taxes on that money, good for you, but be aware, I am sure the IRS is going to start running, you know, they're going to pull those people's names in and they're going to start matching it up and going after people that made cash but yet didn't file the necessary paperwork on your tax return. It's not fun. I've been through a couple audits with the IRS and had inquiries come in on just stupid things, and you're proven guilty until you can prove yourself innocent. Now, that's the way it works with the IRS, and they love to have you write them big fat checks for things that they think you did wrong. And if it's too much, they will put you in jail. So just be aware, all right? Hey, along with that, the FBI, this is just, we talked about Rule 41. Well, at midnight on today, December 1st, the U.S. government quietly gained expansive new surveillance abilities. Basically, there's no way now to stop changes to the Federal Code of Criminal Procedures. It's a done deal. Senator Ron Wyden tried three times to stall the rule changes, which let judges give federal agents authority to hack multiple computers in any jurisdiction. So if some judge in Texas thinks someone in Florida is part of something that basically needs to have a warrant assigned to it, they can. They do not have to go to Florida, go to law enforcement there to get a warrant. They can do it from another state. So this is, I am sure that there is going to be, and I'm hoping that this somehow goes into the court system and goes into the Supreme Court or something to make a decision whether or not this is actually legal or not. But right now, it is the law of the land. I don't spend very much time on Reddit. I stay in the podcast channels on Reddit, watching for people that need help or support, or, you know, anytime I can throw my 2 cents worth in there. But apparently there's been, and I don't go to the Reddit homepage and read what's on the Reddit homepage, but apparently there has been all kinds of craziness going on for quite a while that's still associated with the election and Donald Trump, and a channel that's basically being run over there, and it's gotten pretty contentious. So you know, and it's obvious to me that the Reddit is under a lot of pressure because they've been censoring stuff, and I don't know the full rules on how things work on Reddit, and what the actual, you know, I know that it's self-moderated, but somehow the Reddit team, the actual official team, was somehow monitoring that channel, because there was all kinds of craziness going on there, as you would expect. So there's a lot of people that are calling into question the you know, the viability of Reddit and how it may be tearing itself apart, and just being lots of craziness going on. So if you hang out on Reddit, I'd love to have your 2 cents worth on, you know, what you see, and if you review this article, what you can backfill me on, educate me up here a little bit, because I'm a little bit behind the Powerball on all the politics that actually goes in within the subreddits and so forth. So love to hear from someone that hangs out on Reddit quite a bit. There's a cool site that will scare the heck out of you. It's called click.click. I didn't even know there was a top-level domain called .click, but there is. So if you want to see how everything's, if you want to see everything your browser knows about you, go to click.click. That's the website, click.click. And it basically will give you some surprising information. And I won't link to it. I'll link to the article about it, but definitely check it out. And if you want to see how much information your browser is sharing about you as you're on a website, that's a great way to do it. Chevy, with their new Bolt, B-O-L-T, has beat Tesla to a sub-$30,000 long-range EV. Oregon and California residents can now buy an electric car with an EPA of range of 238 miles for under $30,000. Chevy's pricing configurator for its Bolt EV is now online and is expected the base LT model with a 10.2-inch touchscreen, Apple CarPlay, and rear vision camera costs $37,495, or exactly $29,995 after the $7,500 federal tax credit. If you get the premier model with all the options, including driver assist features, it'll cost you $44,900 or $37,400 after U.S. tax credit. See how they do that? They still make it a 40K car, no matter what. And again, if you live in one of the many U.S. states which added their own EV incentives, like California, which is about a $2,500 credit, you could pay as little as $27,495 for a base Volt. So if you think about that, you get all those, and if you lease one, here's the key. This is the trick. I'm against leasing, but for an EV car, to me, it makes a lot of sense. The Nissan dealer tells me almost everyone leases a Leaf, and the very few drive them. So that tells me within, you know, there's going to be a lot of used Leafs coming on the market soon. Good for everyone that wants to get an EV but doesn't want to buy a new vehicle and still have a 5-year warranty left on the battery. So if you go in with a $27,495 base, you probably can get some more money off that. You put $3,000-$4,000 down, you're probably looking at a lease that's around $200-$220 a month, something to that effect. So you can get in a Bolt. That might be the way to go. Now, Chevy reportedly is losing as much as $9,000 on every Bolt it sells, according to Bloomberg. However, hitting EV targets allow it to sell more of its profitable gasoline-powered vehicles in green-centric states like California and New York. It also a way for GM to lure young buyers who would otherwise avoid what they see as a stodgy company. And anyway, the Chevy Bolt is available. My wife, if the Tesla, the new Tesla, the $34,000 Tesla had been available, that's what would be in the driveway. She'd have bought that. And she was mad when she found out there was like a 2-year wait for that vehicle. And I said, put your $1,000 in and, And then about 2 years, I've got 161,000 on my car. See where I'm going here, folks. We'll be able to pick up the Tesla in a couple of years. And then when you turn in your car, I'll give you the Tesla and maybe I'll go to the higher model. No, we'll have to have gas something here. I can't rely on, because she's already kind of finding out that, getting on a charger sometimes is a little bit challenging. She's only had to charge the car twice and really didn't need to, but, she gets in 70 or 60 mile range and she gets a little nervous. She hasn't run it down below about 50 yet. But with 238 miles, it gives you a little more breathing room, a little more options. You don't have to charge as often. You can go 2, 3, 4 days if you're driving like I do, to be able to put, before you have to put the vehicle on a charger somewhere at the house. Okay, so moving on here to the next topic. And by the way, any EV owners out there, have you done the dryer trick? Bought the kit to basically put a plug into the dryer, gives you a split where one side of the dryer plugs in to, remains your dryer, and the other side you can plug your high amperage charger into. Have any of you done that trick? If you have, I really want to talk to you. All right, Amazon lets Prime members add HBO and Cinemax to their plans. This is big. This is big, 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 big. Because I was looking through everything. I think that we can maintain the channels we want to watch now because we can add HBO and Cinemax to Amazon Prime. I think we're there to be able to cut the cord again. So I got to do a little more research, check on just a couple more things that the kids and I watch, make sure we're good, and I think we're going to make the call to the cable operator here in the next couple of days to make the dump. But Amazon lets Prime members add HBO and Cinemax. So this is big. This is big, folks. This gets you there. And of course, I'm not buying anything from AT&T, but AT&T's got that new streaming service. So for those of you that are looking at that, that's an option. So it's much better on that home front right now. If you want to maintain some of those channels that you really like that you couldn't get before, okay? All right, next topic. How many of you can drive a manual vehicle? what was one thing I set in my wife's car and I was like, that's just a switch, honey. That's and it's really a little knob you pull down, you drive or reverse. there's really no in between, and I thought, I kind of scratched my head a little bit on that. I know a lot of people have never owned a vehicle with an automatic transmission, if you drive any type of a sports car or something like that. But they believe that by the end of the next decade, manual transmissions may no longer be an option in the United States, as gas-powered vehicles have been moving away from clutches for a long, long time. And the perpetual growing SUV, which are almost exclusively fitted with automatic transmission, is accelerating. The Tesla's ludicrous mode is amazing. You don't have to do any shifting or nothing. We're getting close where you won't have to go out and learn the jerk of teaching someone to drive a manual transmission. I think every driver though should be able to drive a stick. At least, you got to have the ability to do that. You really do. All right. Pebble. If you're a Pebble fan, I got my Pebble watch here on the counter. It's not charged up, but this is one of the original ones, and it's the Model 301 Black. Pebble supporters are not happy. Rumors that it's going to be selling itself to Fitbit. That's the rumor on the street for about $30 to $40 million, and maybe the days of Pebble are numbered. So if you're a Pebble fan, just be aware of that. I like Anker products. Matter of fact, I really like their backup batteries. They do a really good job. Anker is an interesting company. They've got a lot of a variety of different, just stuff that you need, accessories and stuff, car chargers, that kind of stuff. But Anker's final Cyber Week push includes deals on batteries, cable, speakers, and more. So just be aware that the Anker sale is ongoing. Again, I really love their backup batteries a lot. So I've had great success with them over the years. So definitely check out the, and again, I don't have any dog in a fight here, not providing an affiliate link, which I should, but you know, if you're looking for battery backup, Anchor's a good product. All right, President-elect Trump's FCC, it's pretty obvious where we're going here. Supporters of net neutrality preparing to defend the FCC regulation passed 2 years ago in the face of what is increasingly look like a determined effort by the new administration to basically get rid of it. Earlier this week, President-elect Trump named a third person to the FCC transition team, and as with the previous two, she is a vocal opponent to net neutrality. And net neutrality means different things to different people, but it makes it easy for special interests to manipulate it to a narrow political agenda. So we're probably going to be in a fight for this. And I think the only way that we can keep some of the net neutrality stuff in place, if you are in favor of it, is you need to get on the phone. You need to start, you know, dropping the dime now and making the calls and basically getting your, because, you know, this is something that could drop pretty fast after President-elect Trump is sworn in. So just be aware that net neutrality is definitely going to be a battle. I've talked about it twice already since the election. You guys know I'm a big net neutrality supporter. So this is something that's forthcoming. Many of you are science fiction and fantasy book readers. I'm always looking for suggestions on those books. The Verge has got 13 science fiction and fantasy books you can't afford to miss this December. It's a great list. And I love it when there is great book reviews and suggestions. So most of the stuff I think you can get on Amazon, not on Amazon Kindle Unlimited. So a link will be up in the show notes for this. It's always, you know, if you've read a good sci-fi series, share that with friends, family members, and me. Just like you share my promo codes. There's been several serious accidents recently, not on self-driving mode of Tesla Model S, and even one on the German Autobahn. Everyone's walked, even with vehicles going airborne and a variety of different really rough accidents. And it's bringing the point home that the car's got a pretty significant safety standard is in basic your survivability. People are still getting hurt, but in most cases, walking away from accidents that would otherwise be in some vehicles fatal. So I'll have the link up in the show notes on that. Hey, it looks like SpaceX is going to try to get one off the pad on December 16th. They've applied with the FAA for a license to launch. So apparently we are about ready to launch some Iridium next generation satellites, 10 of them, in fact. So if everything goes good, SpaceX is going to have an opportunity to attempt to get one off the pad and not blow one up anymore. They appear to have figured out their fueling issue and are ready to go. So, you know, that's one thing about commercial. You know, if this was a government-run company that had blown up a rocket on the pad, they would have been, you know, many, many, many more months. They got through the bureaucracy much quicker over there at SpaceX. So good luck with them on their next launch. How are you watching Westworld? I think I've missed episode 9. I think it came out and I blew it off. But this series is got me enthralled. It really, really does. And there's a spoiler. If you don't click on the Westworld link tonight, if you haven't watched the latest episode, I started into it. I was like, and I stopped. So I can't tell you anything that's in this article. I don't want to. And if you haven't watched the Westworld series, start Saturday morning and you'll be finished Saturday night. You will not, you're doing back to back to back to back. There was a emergency evacuation of Buzz Aldrin. He was down in Australia. He's only been down Australia in Antarctica. He's only been down there a few days. Apparently he got sick, maybe it looks like pneumonia, potentially water on the lungs. So he's in a Christchurch hospital now, but he did get out. There was some concerns that he basically was a Twitter trender for a little while. I thought that maybe he had died, but no, he is receiving care in Christ Church, and we wish him a fast recovery. How many of you have purchased a new MacBook? How many of you are still being irritated about the lack of ports and not being able to put an SD card? Have I got the crowdfunder for you? This is a crowdfunder that I wish was ready right now. This is, an awesome. Now, let me see if I can bring up a better. It's called Line Dock. It's the thinnest and smartest laptop power bank. Plus, it does all the stuff you wish your new MacBook Pro would do now. So I just bring up the article that's on BGR and see. I don't know if there's a picture of it on this site. But really what it is, remember those cooler pads that we used to use under our laptops? You know, you'd have one of those on your lap and you have your laptop on it to keep you from burning your legs. I think I still have one around here somewhere. But this is basically not only a battery extender, but it's got all the additional ports that you've lost, has an SD card reader. It's got, and plus you can take it with you. It's got the same bottom form function as the current MacBook Pro. It will charge your laptop if you need be. You can charge your other devices. It's got a huge, like, 20,000 mAh battery. It's got an SSD built into it. This is the way to go. So, pretty cool. Well, you can put the SSD in and it's not built in, but it's $150 on a crowdfunder. So, definitely check that out if you are in the market for something to really to kind of, and you can leave it on your desktop and it just, it's smart. This is a really, really good one. There's a good article on Roadshow, and China has decided to add a 10% tax on high-end vehicles. So if you have a vehicle in China that sells for more than $189,000, it's going to cost you another $18,900 to buy it in China. China's not happy with overt showing off your wealth. So they're trying to basically the haves and the have-nots are very, there's a wide range in China. So they are trying to, discourage the purchases of these expensive high-end vehicles. I guess if you can afford to buy a $189,000 vehicle, you can probably afford the 10% tax. So, but both BMW and Audi told Reuters that the cars they sell that fall into this price bracket comprise very little of their respective sales numbers in China. Of course, there's, you know, the populace that can actually afford that kind of a car is good. But, you know, if 10% tax on that, it adds to the governmental coffers, right? Angelo, my CEO from Raw Voice Blueberry, has been at the AWS reInvent conference all week. He's coming home with a bunch of stuff he won and full of ideas. And they've announced some cool stuff this week with AWS. And AWS is trying to protect its customers from denial of service attacks with a new service. It's called Shield. There'll be a free level for everyone that's running like an EC2 instance on AWS. And then there's going to be a higher-end version for customers. So this is smart by Amazon and what they've done here. So lots of other announcements that came out this week as well. For devs out there, it's fantastic. If you're an AWS expert, you got to drop me an email. Love to talk with you. But anyway, so lots of stuff going on with the reInvent conference that wrapped up today. So we'll watch the additional news and the implementations that are coming out. But I have a couple articles linked for you, all right? Short-term memory, you know, how many of you remember what you had for breakfast? Or maybe you just finished breakfast. How many of you remember what you had for dinner last night? Most of us, if you tried to remember something from last week, you wouldn't necessarily... if I could read, my daughter would kill me, but I would love to read. She sent me a question today on text. She hasn't been feeling well. And she sent me this text and she says, da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, do you want a picture? I'm like, no, do not send me a picture. And it was a topic about bodily stuff. And I called her and I talked to her. You know, the things your kids ask you. And she just sent me a text saying, everything's well. We're far enough into the show that she won't know. But, you know, especially when they're like, can I send you a picture? I'm like, don't, please don't send me a picture of what you're discussing. Your description is okay. And so if you guys can only imagine, she was a little, oh man, too much information. Sorry. All right. So there's an article on The Verge talking about stimulating the brain and how it can bring back forgotten short-term memories, and they're doing some sort of magnetic resonance to the brain. You know, let's be careful here. Even though there was a study published in the Journal of Science, research was led by the University of Notre Dame. They discovered that people remember things short-term even when things aren't, when the neurons aren't firing. And if you forget something, they've got a way that they can basically trigger to get information out of short-term memory. And, you know, when I hear stuff like transcranial magnetic stimulation, no one is putting something on my noggin and doing any I can't even pronounce it, transcranial magnetic stimulation. No, I'm not doing that, because they say it's a non-invasive way of stimulating the brain. Okay. What if it lowers my IQ by 50? Or rearranges the ones and zeros? And, you know, come on. It's some of the stuff that they're doing. I'm sure some of you sign up for this. There's no way. I'll let someone else be the literal guinea pig on this. And we'll get some studies done and, it, you know, make sure that this is not like, you know, come on. Most of us are killing too many brain cells on a daily basis anyway. I just don't need my noggin rearranged. I just don't. How many of you would let your brain be stimulated by transcranial magnetic stimulation? I know that we're subjected to all kinds of stuff already, but, you know, I'm not going to, like, add to the layer of stuff that could happen. I just won't. It just seems a little weird. Okay, we'll move off that topic. But there's a malware strike that's going on in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia's government agencies were hit with a cyber attack that security researchers are blaming on a worm-like malware that basically wiped computers without really any interaction. Hackers were able to, through email phishing and so forth, get passwords, send the malware into the computers, wait to quit in time on, I believe, in Saudi Arabia's days off for Friday, Saturday. Friday is like their weekends are different because of the religion, because of being a Muslim. I think it's Friday, Saturday are the days off. Sunday's the first day of the week. Anyway, it's been a long time. Maybe I do need some of that trans-dimensional magnetic resonance anyway. But the attack basically started after close of business on Thursday and just started wiping machines out, just completely overwriting hard drives and creating all kinds of havoc. So some state actor, they think Iran, may have been up to it. But boy, oh boy, oh boy. How many of you have been to a job? You know, I haven't been to a job interview in years. I can't even, you know, job interview. Okay. I don't do it. I haven't had to do it. But Google's top boss was stumped by one of his own company's interview questions. So here's the question. One of the questions that Google asked on a employment interview. You're the captain of a pirate ship and you find a chest of gold. Your crew gets to vote on how the gold is divided up. If fewer than half of the pirates agree with you, you die. How do you recommend appointing the gold in such a way that you can get a good share of the booty but still survive. Eric Schmidt came up with a solution, and it took him a while, of giving 49% of the pirates stock in internet companies and 51% got the gold. So, do you have a better answer? But that was, what does that have to, what kind of cycle bullshit is that question to ask someone in a job interview? I guess I don't get it, but I get, there must be some method to the, some HR person out there. You know, is it your ability to think on your, because there's really no right answer, right? You can probably try to bluff your way through, but I don't believe in those kinds of questions. It, to me, it seems pointless. I guess, you know, these upper echelon companies are doing these things. They got to weed people out somehow, and maybe that's the way they do it. I don't know. It just seems odd to me. I did talk about at the beginning of the show that a self-driving big rig is rolling down the Ohio Turnpike for the first time. The debut of the self-driving truck on Thursday is part of Ohio's $15 million investment in advanced self-driving highway tech. State officials said the Turnpike is a good place to start testing because it's a relative straight and flat route with wide lane markings. Turnpike officials say there will be a driver in the truck as a backup during testing. Ohio is among several states competing to play a role in the testing research of autonomous vehicles, which is advancing. It's coming. U.S. Secretary of Energy, they are recommending to the new administration that to stop nuclear tests abroad, the U.S. should ban them at home. Well, the U.S. is already voluntarily stopped testing nuclear weapons a long time. We know other countries haven't, but they feel we should sign the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty adopted by the United Nations General Assembly in 1996. I guess it was never adopted by us. We said we wouldn't do it, but, you know, until China and North Korea and, you know, all these other countries that are, you know, Iran sign on, I just don't think it's a good idea. Do you know what happens when you send a text message to a landline telephone? Oftentimes, they just go into Never Never Land, but sometimes they make it through, and it depends on the service you have. So I'll have that link up in the show notes. You can dig into that yourself. Hey, in Florida, one good thing that came out of the election was that the citizens of Florida showed interest in solar energy by rejecting the Anti-Solar Amendment 1. So this is big. You know, Florida's been really anti-solar. I mean, the power utilities in there got all kinds of stupid stuff enacted. So Solar City is going to expand into Florida after a long battle against local utilities. Good job, Florida. Good job, Florida. Another great, you know, solar installs here in Hawaii have dried up completely. There's like very few systems going in. It's bad news for the industry here. Also, if you live in UK, you're going to love this. You guys knew that this new investigatory power bill went into effect, right? But did you know the politicians exempt themselves from the new wide-ranging spy laws? The decision of MPs and other legislators have extra protections with the first in a long line of amendments made to the bill. So if you're in the UK, politicians, again, have exempted themselves from Britain's new wide-range spying laws. The Investigatory Powers Act doesn't apply to people in government. Isn't that some BS? Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Sounds like some people need to be replaced over there. All right, finally tonight, I got some fun articles here. Let's see where we're at on time. We're not doing too bad. The police put up a trail cam because people were saying there was some sort of an animal that was scaring people on the trail. Well, people figured out that camera was there, and they were trolling the police a little bit. People dressed up in Bigfoot suits and all kinds of craziness to entertain the police. There was a few animals that there was a skunk and a fox, but otherwise there was some people that just did some craziness and dressed up and got in front of the camera. You just have to love people that would do that. Also, there is a $30 million Google challenge out there. where people are coming up with ideas on stuff that they could do on missions to the moon. And one group wants to send a rover to inspect the Apollo 17 lunar buggy. And they want to dispel the moon hoax. They want to go out there and see if it's really there to prove that we really did go to the moon. It's an article over on coasttocoastam.com. To follow up with that, there's been a new image of an ancient city has been found on Mars, according to the folks at Coast to Coast. Anomaly hunters, studying images from NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, believe they have found the remnants of an ancient city on the red planet. And it does kind of look like a building there. It, you know, has the semblance of some. And if this doesn't give you chicken skin, nothing will. And I've prepared you here. You gotta let me know if that gives you chicken skin or not. You guys know what chicken skin is, right? Chinese astronaut has recalled a mystery knock. Now, someone was knocking on his capsule. This happened in 2003. While flying above China's Shenzhou 5 aircraft back in 2003, Yang Lui told an interviewer recently he heard an occasional and unexplained knocking sound that seemed to come from nowhere. He recalled to Chinese Central Television that it neither came from outside nor inside the spaceship, but sounded like someone is knocking on the body of the spaceship, just as knocking an iron bucket with a wooden hammer. As one might expect, he got a little freaked out, made him nervous, and he peered out the window to search for the source of the of the sound. Now imagine, you know, you're in outer space and you hear this boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. Now, what that really could have been was some aliens that were just like flew up and said, let's make this guy crap his pants. But can you imagine, you know, hearing a knock on the door or something when you're in outer space and, you know, going to the window and no one's there? That would get you going. It really would. All right, let me, I know we've had some comments come in since the last show. Got an email from Barry. He said, hey, Todd, congrats, your wife will enjoy it. Unfortunately, we just got rid of our Pierce plug-in. My wife was T-boned and the car totaled. Fortunately, no injuries. Ended up getting a Subaru after rigorous shopping in a short period of time. That was our second Prius, having had them for 11 plus years. We're ready for a change and our commutes are much shorter than what they were. Thanks for that, Barry. I want to thank Michael, and it was talking about some stuff on Facebook, and let me actually load this up. He said, and what it was response to was, oh, police start using a new radar gun that detects far more than just speed. Now, we don't know if this came from an official source, but some folks in the posting said it was a fake news story. But Michael says, hey, this should be stopped. This is a violation of the Fourth Amendment, illegal search and seizure. Are we living in a police state at this point? And really what it was, it's a radar gun that detects texting and utilization of your phone in your car. Now, whether or not this turned out to be true, whether or not this is the real deal or not, has not yet been confirmed. Also got an email from Jack. He said, Todd, on show 1161, you said you received an email asking for my contact info. So I appreciate your good judgment on not replying to that HR phishing scam email. Over the past few years, I've received mailments from Todd Cochran wanting me to click on a link to some website I've never heard of, and your email address was not anything I recognized. So I got it, the immediate permanent delete action. The best antivirus anti-malware system is between our ears, which is something we should all use before clicking on some link or providing a friend's personal information. On show 1160, you made a tiny rant about the Hawaii Power Company's solar power policies. I have to disagree with you. The power grid requires a balance of power function. It works only when the amount of power generated equals the power demanded. If only 1% of the power is generated by renewable devices, solar or wind, the power grid can handle that amount of fluctuation. Say when a large cloud blocks the sun or the wind stops and that power source is immediately removed from the grid, the power company generators can absorb that, but there comes a point that when that would be unable to absorb a level of unscheduled generating power loss and the entire grid fails with brownouts, rolling blackouts, or complete blackouts. Now, what they put in neighborhoods here is mitigation for that, Jack. So every neighborhood has mitigation for that exact scenario. So, and many of us have actually had to pay for that mitigation to be put in. So in a certain case, it's what you say is true, but not 100%. He goes on to say, the only way the grid can be stabilized with renewable power is to have a power storage system that can act as a shock absorber. Like I said, we paid for some of that mitigation here. So the company can fire up its generators to cover the loss. This could take up to an hour more if the boiler is closed. The option of keeping the steam generator spinning to more quickly absorb the temporary loss of solar or winter generation would not provide any savings to power company nor the environment. Some form of immediate power, backup power, is more important with the growth of intermittent renewable energy. Think about an airplane. If it generates loss, it's designed to shed less important systems. That's true. To keep critical systems operating, our commercial power grid is not designed like that. It's all or nothing. On a side note, it would be important for power companies to have access to the current state of your battery so they would know how much power to bring online as the city's island's backup power is used. I have no batteries in my house, but there's new ones that are coming on. And also he says, hey, CES 2017, this will be the first time you won't be tied down with booth activities in 6 years. I hope you have a great CES. I'm going to have a great one, Jack. Thanks for the email. So a lot of what you say is true, but they also have, it's already been proven that they have a lot more capacity at this point to support that kind of stuff. But sadly, they are not allowing more systems to be installed. Okay, I think that is all the email that came on. And again, I want to thank Tom for sending me that information about StudioCat.com. Okay, that's going to wrap me up here. GeekNews@gmail.com is the email address. I hope you guys had a great time watching the show. Thanks for hanging out with me. And be back with you on Monday. Normal schedule here all the way through the time I have to leave for Vegas. But I hope everyone had a great holiday. And hope you all had a successful Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Just didn't find the deals. You know what I didn't find? What I was looking for on Cyber Deals? I was looking for SD cards. Here's what I did find. I found inexpensive micro SD, but I didn't find SD cards. I guess I can just use the adapter on these. These were cheap enough, but I was looking for deals on SD cards, 64 and 128 gigs class 10s, and those just weren't on sale this year. SanDisk was... they're the ones that had a big sale on micro SD, but not full SD cards. But anyway, that is that. Hey, definitely subscribe to my new YouTube channel. Link is in the show notes. We're slowly climbing in numbers over there, and I hope that you will go over and just check it out. I'm having fun with it, and I'm starting to learn some new stuff. Basically, make sure I don't point the camera up my nose. That I did a couple times, which was kind of gross. Don't have to worry about that here because the camera's higher than my head, so you won't have to look up my nose on this show. For those of you that are listening, hey, definitely check the video out from time to time as well. And my new haircut here, or lack of hair, has gotten a lot of attention lately, so I definitely appreciate those of you that are sympathetic to my situation. But geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. Support our sponsor, GoDaddy. As we roll into Christmas, help me pay for the Mavic. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geekness Central Podcast. Take care. Aloha.